the big roadhouse, you know, we've been up here a couple of times when he built the big roadhouse. So.
And the roadhouse was built after the road came through because everybody seemed to come out there and there wasn't room for people. Some slept in the haymow above the barn.
Above the...
Do you have this on now? Do you have...
And some slept on the floor. You know, everybody knew everybody. So after the beds were filled up, then they slept on the floor. You remember that, don't you?
Oh, yes, I remember.
And then in 1930, the hotel was built. But I think the road came through in 28, didn't it?
I don't know. I didn't come till 34.
I think it was 28, Because I know we came back in 1929 from outside, and that's...
And people used to get stuck between Central and
Pick up those horses back there.
And they'd have to get the team and pull them out.
Mm-hmm. I remember hearing about that.
But the story of the springs and the discovery of the hot springs was when a miner from Deadwood, was that right?
Yes, but I don't remember what year it was.
Have you ever heard of the year?
No, I don't.
Did you tell me that Mr. Leach had acquired the land in about 1910?
No, it was 1908. It was either 1907 or 1908. But I know he was there in 1908. And he came to the country in 1904, and he used to mine around Miller House, work for the company there.
The Barry Dredging Company?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And he also had the job bringing in the moose meat and so on. But you see, some of the early people had scurvy. But had they known about spruce boughs and so on, and
spruce tea.
Yes, there wouldn't. There'd been no need of scurvy, and that was why he thought of building up the garden. And what used to be the upper garden, where they now have the pool, that was a creek bed, and he was busy picking up all the rocks and everything and shoveling down the earth from the hillside to make a garden. And of course then, all he had was his horse and, you know,
a plow?
Scraper.
Yeah.
So it took some time to dig it up.
He had to move all the dirt from the side to build the garden plot, right?
Yeah.
Down in this creek bed.
Yeah. And that was a lot of hard work when you think you have to do things with a scraper and a horse. Mm-hmm. And now, when I watch the machinery build this big pool, gracious. They just scrape down that hill. And everything's changed so much.
Oh, it has changed a lot.
You know, people who didn't live in those early days have no idea of how time-consuming it was to do even a little bit of work. As far as building up the garden was concerned, of how hard work went into that labor, into that garden, but it didn't take much to destroy it.
Well, you're right. Well, when Mr. Leach acquired the springs, it was he homesteaded more of the land than originally.
I've forgotten just what year he homesteaded it, but there were I think there were 140 acres, something like that. But there's less now because of the field was deeded over to the government.
Over to the state?
Yeah.
The airfield.
Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And he built the first airfield the year we were married.
Is that right?
You know, with his horses. Yeah. And of course, it was just a small field then. But then they had small planes, those little coal planes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What year were you married?
1924.
1924. Mm-hmm. That was an early year for an airfield, all right, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. That was just...
Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, there were always some people flying over.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you have pictures, or I think we have a picture, too, of Noel Wynn landing there and getting stuck and Mr. Leach pulling him out with the team.
Is that right?
I mean, Dean Lango, I think, took the picture, but that was 1924, I think. August, I believe, 1924.
Was the Wynns the first that flew in here? Were they the first ones? Didn't Rodeball or any of those fly in?
I don't think so. I think it was Noel Wynn, I'm pretty sure.
The first one,
I'm quite sure it was Noel Wynn.
Mm-hmm.
I know Wayne came to Nenana in 19, I guess it was 24, and did, he paid $5, you know, to go up in a plane. Of course, Dix went, and it was just before my older son was born. So he made them all promise that they would come home and tell me that he'd gone up in this airplane. Well, that was Noel. I think Noel did a lot of it.
Well, when this miner had shot that moose and wounded him on a moose hunt in the fall, and he, in following the wounded animal, came over and located the springs.
Well, he saw the steam coming up, and he didn't come up to the steam, but the next day he came back with one of his neighbor miners, and they found the springs together.
That was in the winter, so that you could see the spring.
No, it was in the fall of the year, because he was moose hunting. You see, a moose hunting would soon be open, so it must have been around this time of the year.
He never found the wounded moose, but he did find the springs.
Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yes, and then they began using it right away. Uh-huh. You see, they built a little pool for the water and another one for mud. They take a mud bath. Because you see, the men working in the wintertime, they got quite stove up with rheumatism. Mm-hmm. And you see, because they mined every day. They'd start a fire in their mine, and the next day the thawed ground would be shoveled up. And have you ever been in one of the tiny cabins?
A miner's cabin?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Aren't they tiny?
Yes, they are. Not much room.
But I can understand it, because they weren't going to spend a lot of time cutting wood to keep the houses warm.
Or housekeeping.
Yes. Mm-hmm. They could just about reach everything as soon as they stepped inside.
Yeah, just...
Do you have a little more coffee?
But the first... I think I was reading here recently, I'm not sure where it was, but didn't they erect some tents there at first just to live in, and then gradually built some cabins near the hot springs?
When the people came, there was no way to house them. We did put up a bunch of tents for a while.
Mm-hmm.
The people should have known there was no place to stay, but nevertheless they came, and the roads were terribly bad.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow they bumped over them.
And Mr. Leach made a lot of the furniture for furnishing those houses, didn't he, when they finally got the homes built, the cabins built?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And he kept
in the wintertime, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. And he kept on making it as long as he was able to work. He was building furniture.
And Mrs. Leach finished them. They are beautifully finished.
Just like a mirror.
Just like a mirror. Beautiful.
And when I think of all the labor I put in, and then John Burdell sold them.
I think there are a few pieces left, though.
Yeah, but I think he sold most of them.
Isn't there one in the house you folks had? A cabinet or a chest of drawers?
Oh, you mean over here?
At the springs, in the cabin you had at the springs.
No, we never had one.
Oh. Well, I thought I saw one in one of the buildings over there.
Well, what happened to the furniture? People carried it off, or it just fell apart, or what happened to the furniture?
It wouldn't have all fallen apart. There was all hand done, wasn't it?
Yeah, but some of the people took it or something?
John
Burdell sold the
furniture
after he bought the place.
For goodness sake, that's too bad.
Well,
I wonder
Mrs.
why.
Hall says that the Schultz have a piece of it over there that they bought from John Burdell.
Uh-huh. Isn't that a crime?
Uh-huh. You would do that. It's too bad. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. We were admiring it the other day. And it's just as beautiful now as the day you fixed it, Mrs. Leach. That finish is beautiful.
When you mentioned the cows, Mrs. Leach, that reminds me, I saw my first cow at the Circle Hot Springs when I was 7 years old. We were going outside, and that's the first time I'd known that milk didn't come out of a can. I wasn't too sure then either.
Well, how many cattle did you have at the springs?
We had three cows.
Three cows. Mm-hmm. When I came over there, there were just horses, and I think there were three of them then.
Mm-hmm. You see, after the people began coming, and there was so much work to do, and I could no longer take care of the milk. Nobody else could. If you don't understand milk, you can't drink the milk. What I mean is, milk takes on other flavors.
Mm-hmm.
And they put out all kinds of food, and the milk standing there. So we just had, and since I couldn't take care of it anymore, there was no other way.
Well, Ed Brown used to take care of the cows for a while too, didn't he?
Yeah, after he used to milk the cows.
Uh-huh, I can remember. Wait, well, but you were, you remember Ed Brown, too,
oh,
Charlotte,
remember
of course.
Ed very well, but there were no cattle here then. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember Ed.
Remember that old lady that came from Boston that was so ornery? That was a guest there, and she wasn't pleased with anybody or anything. Mrs. Harrington was her name, I think. Was that? It must have been while you were there, I think. Anyway, Ed Brown made us a bet that she would kiss him goodbye when she left, and we wouldn't believe it, you know, that she would kiss anyone because she was so ornery. But sure enough, she did. I think it cost me 50 cents. She was an impossible woman. Nothing pleased her.
All the vegetables that you grew there, you had this big root cellar and stored them, didn't you, mm-hmm. throughout the winter? Pretty much throughout the winter, wasn't it?
You know, it seems almost like a dream that we raised that those beautiful vegetables, and they kept all winter. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We had vegetables until spring,
and the flavor was out of this world.
Mm-hmm. But then it was all organic farming because
of course
our horses and cattle and chickens.
Mm-hmm. Is the root cellar still at the
springs? Yes, I think the building is still there.
I think it is too, right? As you go in the curve to the springs, it's a little cabin in the back of
that. Oh, the one that's built into the hill?
Mm-hmm. In the back of that was a root cellar.
But then...
The vegetables kept beautifully there. Mm-hmm. But of course they had to watch so it didn't get too cold. Mm-hmm. When it got too cold, I would use an oil heater.
You'd have to... have to keep the temperature above freezing in the root cellar. What could you keep in the root cellar? Just all? How about tomatoes? You can't keep them all winter.
Oh no! But nevertheless, we had turnips and carrots and
rutabagas
and potatoes. Oh, the potatoes were wonderful, weren't they?
Yes, they were. How about the cabbage for a while anyway?
Some cabbage is kept there. But most of the cabbage was in the cellar off from the kitchen.
Did you make sauerkraut too?
Yes, and we always made sauerkraut. Mm-hmm. And it was wonderful.
Yeah. I remember we cut up an awful lot of cabbage over there. Even when we were working there, Charlotte. Well, I guess we were in another department.
Well, did you worked at the springs too?
Yeah, she did. Mm-hmm. A lot of fun, didn't we?
Oh, we sure did.
When we went, when Mrs. Rust and I went in there this evening, Betsy Sharp's daughter was there at the desk. Cheryl Sharp.
Oh, she's lovely.
Yeah. You know her, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, she is. I walked in and she asked me, "What's Libby doing?" She's a friend of my daughter's. Mm-hmm. My daughter's name is Libby.
Oh,
surprise.
That's a pretty name. Isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Libby.
It's really Elizabeth. We call her Libby.
Oh,
so. And I remember Betsy told me that her daughter worked over at the hotel part of the time. Mm-hmm. But my husband came over about 3 years ago with our girl. She was maybe 12 or 13 at the time, with one of her friends so they could swim. And he was discouraged because it was rather run down. But now the hotel looks clean and neat, mm-hmm. and I think the new owners are doing a nice job.
I think so, too.
Yeah,
I was telling you this evening that I was so pleased at the dinner table to have fresh vegetables from the garden on the table. Yeah. They had cauliflower and broccoli boiled together and buttered. Oh, it was delicious.
Oh,
and then they had the green salad with all the makings from the springs. And this is the first time, I think, since Mr. Leach was no longer there to work that I have tasted their fresh vegetables on the table. I think a couple of times, and I come over every year, I've tasted a cucumber or two, but not several courses of fresh vegetables.
Like they used to have.
And that's what the springs was so famous for.
Oh, that's right.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes,
and I think that's one reason everyone wanted to come here to see that garden.
My husband tells glorious stories about the gardens.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the gardens were just a sight to behold. Yeah.
I remember when we lived over there, a lady was wandering around and outside when then I went out. And she was a nurse from some city in California. And she said to me, "Is this Circle Hot Springs?" And I said, "Yes, it is." She said, well, you know, years ago the doctor I worked for came up here and he brought home the most marvelous pictures of the vegetables that was in this, or in this garden. She said, I can't believe it. And I said, well, this is the same Huntington Hot Springs, but not the same people are here anymore. So yeah. She was very disappointed. She said she had waited years to come up and see those beautiful gardens.
Mm-hmm. Oh, isn't that a shame? Then, you know,
I can always remember the carrot patch down, you know, close to the hotel. Those carrot tops just waving in a slight breeze. It was just a continual ripple through them, and it was just gorgeous to watch, like ferns.
Well, Mrs. Leach, did it take two years or just one season to build the hotel? It's three stories.
Oh, I think it was all built in that one year. Do you remember
Maybe
the inside wasn't all finished.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe it was framed in.
But the whole outside
was finished.
It was used right away.
Mm-hmm. Because we were there in the spring of 1930. I have a picture taken of my folks and you and the Millers and myself, 1930 in the spring, I think in March, and the hotel wasn't started then, and then, but it was opened that fall, wasn't it? I think in September, October.
But
no,
they had a lot of carpenters around.
Uh-huh. Well, Billy Bowers was the main carpenter. Contractor or whatever you say. Yes.
Was he from Central?
He lived up at Boulder. Mm-hmm. And he was an elderly man at that time, and when he built that hotel. Mm-hmm. But that was just to be the one wing, wasn't it? And then there was to be another wing on the other side, I think, eventually. Wasn't that the plan?
No, I think that the whole thing was built.
And
where did the lumber come from? Was that shipped in, or was it cut
You see, my husband had brought in the lumber from, most of it from around down the lake. There were a lot of beautiful big trees there.
Medicine Lake?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they were, who used to, Wilbur Jewell, wasn't he the one that had the mill or somebody?
He's the one you want to talk to.
They had a mill down by Medicine Lake?
Uh-huh.
You said they had a mill down by Medicine Lake?
Well, the trees.
Just the trees they got down there.
From Medicine
Lake. But frankly, I just don't remember who took them over to Central or just where they
were. But I thought maybe, I wondered if the lumber was cut in this area or if it was brought
from around the lake, most of it, the trees, the big trees. We also had lumber from Fairbanks, of course, when the hotel was built. But nevertheless, some was from the trees, from the trees that my husband brought in.
There were several sawmills in this area in the early days, I guess. Well, they had to saw their own. That was the only way. There was one down at Jump Off, I believe, and one up here at what they call Saw Pit, which is about halfway between here and Miller House. And I'm not sure if there was one here at Central. There might have been. I think I've heard that there was, but I'm not really sure of that.
But I can't remember because I always had my own work to do,
more than you could probably.
I never had enough rest either.
Well, you even had to care for ill people every now and then, didn't you, Mrs. Leach, being a nurse?
Yeah, that was very difficult for me to understand that, more than I could do. When it sent people out for Fairbanks, I couldn't even look after themselves and expect me to wait on them. It was just too much. I couldn't do it.
Were you had you been a nurse?
Yes, I am a graduate nurse.
I see.
You see, I came to the country in 1920 to Fort Yukon.
Yukon. That was the Hudson Stuck Hospital.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was there 4 years before I was married.
I see. I talked to Sam White's wife recently, Mary White, and she was a nurse there at the same place.
But not at the same time.
Later. Mm-hmm. Later. That surprised me. She told me when she went there, she was from the Boston area, and she had entered nurse's training when she was about 31 or 32 years old, so she was, they called her grandma, I think, in her nursing class. She was quite a bit older. And then she had previously, she had had deaconess training in the church, and she came up and she said that she thought that was one of the most romantic sights, when Sam would go by with his dog team stretched out in front of him, and she was new to the country, and of course Sam went by quite often apparently, because he married her within 1 year. But that's where they met, at Fort Yukon, and he was a game warden at the time.
They're such an interesting couple. I just love to go down and visit them. They live just a block from us, you know.
I stopped by with some blueberries there the other night because I thought they might like them, but Sam wasn't home.
Oh, was he?
She came to the door.
Oh,
I'm not sure if she knew who I was, but I think she did.
Well, Helen Callahan used to be in Fort Yukon.
She was there.
Was she there when you were at the hospital?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. And we camped out together in the spring. We had to camp, take our vacation before the boats began to run. Mm-hmm. Because when the boats began to run, the natives came in from round about the country. And then the hospital filled up, and we were just as busy as we could be. So we had to camp out where there was still snow on the ground. Mm-hmm. And when night came, we put on our parkas.
And climb in your sleeping bags?
Yeah, we didn't have sleeping bags, but we had plenty of blankets and things. Mm-hmm. And we were just as warm and comfortable as we could be. We used to have wonderful times together.
So wasn't Rose with you 1 year? Too?
1 year.
Rose Rasmussen?
But she was just a little top. And,
that was Helen's niece.
Helen's niece, oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
And didn't Mrs. Peter Grandison, Nellie Grandison, wasn't she a nurse at the
Yes, she was. But that was another year. The first year, I was the only nurse.
Oh, I didn't know she'd been at Fort Yukon, too.
Yeah, she was there, too.
I knew she'd been at Fairbanks, but
Well, now, Mr. Leach came down there as a patient to Fort Yukon. That's how you met him, wasn't it? Didn't he come there as a patient?
Yes, he was a patient. But I had also spent one of my summers here at the spring.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. That's when the romance started.
Well, you see, I don't know exactly just how the accident happened, but anyway, the wagon had run over his leg and had broken it. The bone was solid within itself. Just broken within, but not through the skin. But nevertheless, he came to the hospital. Mm-hmm.
I think it's starting up again, wasn't it? Awful today. Wind was so terrible.
Yes, it was really fall-like up on the hills. My, it was quite chilly.
So cold. Mm-hmm.
The one thing I noticed, I missed over at the springs, is smoke coming out of the cabins, and it finally dawned on me. I knew it all the time, but it finally dawned on me that there everything is heated with hot water.
Well, they used to have smoke.
It just seems so unusual to be so close to the Arctic Circle and have.
Of course, if you have if you have a cabin to cook in, why there'd be smoke? Because we had a cabin, we had to, stoke it with wood to cook on when we were up there one time. We had the cabin right straight across from, had the screen porch on it there. We had that 1 year, Jess. And
Mrs. Leach, was it in 1938 that the spring has changed hands then for the first time?
I don't remember. It was I in think the it was 30s there. Sometimes, but I just can't remember. I reached the point where I just caved in. You know, I just couldn't work anymore. What I mean is, there was too much work to do, and I couldn't. When the time came, and I just couldn't work anymore. You know, we all reach a point where we try. I didn't want to, but nevertheless, came.
I thought it was that year, in 38, was the last year I worked there. And I thought that was the year that the Caseys came in.
I don't just remember.
Sure. Well,
dates or something that I just can't
I was living there. That was the year Sylvia was born. And we were living there, and I was quite sure that it was still Leach's. But I Well, I think it was later than that because, yes, I'm sure it was. Because then we lived there. Our cabin burned up on Deadwood in 1939 when Sylvie was about 9 months old, and we came down to the Springs. I know Mr. Leach let us have a cabin, and we didn't have any money. So I know they still had it in 1939. Mm-hmm. But no, I don't. I think probably it was about 40 when Birdall came in there. But
didn't Casey have it, though, before Birdall?
It was leased to Casey, and Casey... in case they leased it to John without saying anything to Frank about it.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And then later we sold out to John.
When did Mr. Leach die?
That was about in 1954 or 5.
55, I think. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was 1955. Because I remember when I was living at Mom's house. We'd just come back from Seattle when I heard that.
Well, when Mrs. Rust and I were driving over today, she was wondering if you would be here. You were talking about coming to the Springs, mm-hmm. Charlotte. And she said that you worked here. You'd work in the daytime and you'd play the piano at night sometimes.
Not every night. Not every night. On the weekends.
On the weekends.
I worked in the hotel and the cabins, keeping them cleaned up and the beds changed. Mm-hmm. And then I helped Mrs. Leach occasionally in the laundry. I learned how to run the mangle, didn't I, Mrs. Leach? And we had a lot of fun, and that's where we really got well acquainted, was my being with her a lot. And then on Saturday nights, they always had a dance. A dance from about 8 until 12. And that's in the good old days when the cook was Dora Werner's mother, Dora McDougal's mother, Cookie Werner, we called her. And she fixed up a midnight lunch that I'll never forget.
Boy, the way that table set out, I'll never forget that either.
Platters of baked ham, mm-hmm. platters of all the lovely green things, the tomatoes, the cucumbers, the green onions, radishes.
Most gorgeous tomatoes, big ones.
What else goes with it? Pepper rings, everything beautifully arranged on these platters. She had homemade bread, and she topped it off with homemade raised donuts that were always started cooked on Saturday. And the people, after they get through their dancing for their midnight lunch, they'd go in there and they could just fill up their plate as many times as they wanted for 50 cents. That's all they charged for the midnight lunch. 50 cents. And when I think of all that good food for 50 cents.
That was really something.
But then everything was cheaper then.
That's right, it was. But it was out of this world. I mean, that she was an excellent cook.
Mm-hmm. I recall Mrs. Steger, I think, the weeks that she spent at True Play. Do you remember Mrs. Steger and the children? She had been quite ill. They lived in flats, so the doctor suggested
Is this Olga Steger's mother?
Yes, yeah. Come up to Circle Hot Springs to recuperate. Mm-hmm. And she said she never ate such wonderful food, and it was the nicest place, and I think her almost nothing per day. Just mm-hmm. And she just marvels at it now. And she still talks mm-hmm. about that. She whenever we do go up there, she'd tell us. When we lived over at the Springs, Mrs. Leach, she'd tell us about when she spent her I think 3 weeks at the Springs.
Well, there seems like some
highlights mm-hmm. of her life of being there.
Are you comfortable?
It sounds good to hear people say that they were happy there.
They were. Everybody was. People all were happy, and they'd go over there, you know. Mm-hmm. And I never heard anyone that was just love the Springs.
Well, then so many of the cabins were just taken every year by the same women, businessmen's wives.
Yeah.
And the weekends were hectic because they'd all the cricks come over to dance. I remember one night we was here, they were dancing. And
yes, the miners.
Lively. And that's when we come down and had that beautiful table all laid out. And you and the Stewart girl and some of them used to come over there and dance. One Saturday night there was quite a bunch of you kids had come over to dance.
Every weekend. I mean, this was the place to come on a weekend.
But I don't know what you danced to. Who did you dance to? Charlotte wasn't playing then, was she?
Well, I played just for
when you kids come over to dance, Ruth, what did you dance to?
Well, I think we had photographs.
Oh, it was a photograph.
Before Charlotte.
I remember the dances and the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Just the photograph.
One of the things I always remember of Mr. Leach was that no matter where he was working, if he was down in the potato field, or if it was over in the other vegetable garden, no matter where he was, if he'd see a car coming down over the hill, and he didn't recognize it as one of the cars from the creeks, somebody from, you know, coming to the springs for the first time, he'd always put whatever he was doing down, and he'd come up to greet these people. Mm-hmm. He came out to greet them. They didn't have to come into the lobby to sign in. He was there to welcome them to the springs.
And how about at night, when he'd be up, I bet many a night, he never got enough sleep because he was, you know, waiting for, or if he knew people were coming, they'd have reservations ahead, and no matter what time, maybe they were stuck on the road and got here late, but he'd be there to greet them.
Mm-hmm. And almost always, if they needed something to eat, they saw that they got it, too.
Yeah. Sure. I think a lot of people would come over hunting, you know, and then they'd wind up at the hotel. And I think lots of people just come to the hotel for the weekend in the fall because beautiful ride and such wonderful food. And I think that attracted a lot of them, too.
I really think the garden attracted them.
Oh, I'm sure it did because that was...
That's what my husband remembers. And he talks about some of the miners who'd come over in the wintertime and just live here. But the beautiful garden and the vegetables that were served all winter long.
Yes,
because they had,
vegetables all winter.
I think it's something that the men, the bachelors or the miners, really appreciated because they...
Well, all the cabins are full in the wintertime.
Been to see, since I've seen a lamp like that.
Yeah,
we used to have them out at Birch Lake at our cabin all the time.
I don't like to monkey with them on this road.
Yeah.
They should have had a light.
That looks real cozy.
Then it looks like the church back there, because that whole big house is all lit up.
You know, I think Lau was here. She would remember about how generous Mr. Leach was with the horses. He let the kids, she used to, first time she ever rode a horse was out here, and he was so wonderful to let the kids ride the horses up and down the road out there. The poor old workhouses, they work all day, and then the kids riding.
Well, as far as the horses were concerned, they didn't mind.
No, they seemed to enjoy it. See Lila bobbing up and down the horse. Didn't know how to ride. No, it was a wonderful place. We had lots of wonderful memories of the old...